Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Emmanuel Marín.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermudez Marín. And I thank our Heavenly Father who allowed you to be here with us. And we ask the Lord to keep you healthy and strong unto your transformation. May you continue to be of a great blessing to the entire mystical body and to the entire church of the Lord. To everyone present, ministers who are followers of the message of Brother Branham, ministers of the age of the cornerstone, brothers and sisters, on this occasion, may God open your understanding, the scripture to you, so that you may see and hear that still small voice, and may He speak directly to your souls, to your hearts, and those who have not come up yet, come up to the age of the cornerstone today, because there is where the promises are, which were promised in the Holy Scriptures, and they were spoken by the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, the Reverend William Marion Branham, whom we love. We love his message. We love his family. And we love you. For this occasion, we also greet everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 and other means of communication. And to those who will be seeing and hearing this activity today, Sunday, December 15th of this year, 2024. I bring many greetings from the West, from the land of the Americas, and mainly from the Great Tent Cathedral. And I thank the Lord that my wife, Sarah Melendez, and my sons-in-law are also with me, accompanying me on this trip. And also the wife of our brother Miguel Bermudez Marín, our sister Ruth. She is also accompanying us. And other brothers, technicians, our brother Bruno and his wife Lorena. And everyone who is in this place, who have come from the West, may God also bless them greatly. For this occasion, let us search in the book of the Acts, in chapter 1, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after he had, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And there our brother William writes to the side, 40 days, and he draws Star of David. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me." For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And there to the right he drew a Star of David as well. And they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And there to the left he writes, East, West. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And there he writes, Day 24th of the second month. Pastors working in harmony in both camps, in favor of the restoration of the kingdom of David. That's the subject we will be hearing and seeing, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on February 19, 2009, in Asunción, Paraguay. And we will be having a Bible study under this subject, in which we trust that God will open the whole picture to us of what the restoration of the kingdom of David is at this end time. You may please be seated. I learned a word here, or two, or three words, which is, God bless you.
Imana ibahe umu yisha.
Now notice, just as I am learning to speak your language, you are also learning Spanish, which the Reverend William Branham spoke and said that the thunders spoke in an unknown language. Therefore, it was not English. It was Spanish. And don't you worry that whatever you cannot learn while being in these bodies from the Spanish language, after you are transformed, you will speak it just as clearly as we are speaking it. For now, we need translators. But remember that there was a believer who heard Brother Branham in her own language. Therefore, that is an example that at any moment, while being in these bodies, we will experience what that woman experienced. That is adoption. Now, God shows and showed in the life of our brother Branham, he showed partially what would happen at this end time, in all of its fullness. He showed an example when God showed him in the five manifestations of the power of God. When he spoke the word and stopped that storm, the power over nature. When he spoke the word for the creation of squirrels, that's creative word, which is the third pool. When he gave the sword to our sister Hattie Wright, and he said, ask for what you want. Now notice, it was the Holy Spirit telling her to ask for what she wanted. That is the word being spoken in favor of our family members. Then, he spoke the word, and the tumor that our sister Maida had, who was going to be operated at a distance, he spoke the word, and the tumor disappeared. Now notice that that spoken word will also be manifested from a distance, and people will be healed. It does not matter where they're at. In other words, that also represents the healing of the body, that wherever an elect of God is, hearing the voice of the Son of God, just as those who are in paradise in the sixth dimension will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will be resurrected, those alive will be transformed wherever they are. So don't worry because you are in Africa. Today, you are listening live. But wherever the seventh seal is, you will be listening. Therefore, in the moment of transformation, wherever you are in Africa, you will be transformed. And you will see that the word at a distance will be fulfilled there. But he is not here. And my body is going to change. Brother Branham says, the gray hair will go out, the wrinkles will fall away. You are going to remember what I'm telling you today. He told us that at a distance, I'm here in this city, some in a village, in a house, in a hut. And you say, but me? Who am I? You are a king and a queen. You are a firstborn of God. It does not matter where you live and where you are at. Now notice, our brother Branham told us in a portion which is placed here in the book of quotations of excerpts preached by the Reverend William Branham on page 14a, paragraph 142, it says, but I still believe that through God I will minister again in the name of the Lord Jesus among the people of Africa. This was in May 27th of 65. And God took him away. He left in December of that year. And he did not come back. But he says that God was going to allow him to minister again among the people of Africa. There, the ministering spirit of Elijah was speaking, who in his final ride, he'll be in his fifth manifestation. And it says, God has promised to give us the desire of our heart. And that's one of the desires of my heart. Today, the fifth Elijah says, the desire of my heart has been fulfilled to me today. And today, I am, today Sunday, December 15th of this year 2024, I am ministering here in Africa. God grants the petitions of our heart. Only believe. That is the only thing He asks you to do. To believe. Now notice. Going into this subject a little more. In the message, Subjecting Ourselves to God's Order, preached on May 31st, 2003, in Mexico City. Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, who was an angel of the Lord, sent from the presence of God, to announce the second coming of the Lord. And just as it was in the first coming of the Lord, when that angel appeared to the Virgin Mary and told her that she would have a son and that he would be called the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. Let us look in there to see this brief conversation that Gabriel had with Mary, which on Friday's message, you will notice that our brother William spoke to us there about that conversation. And he told us, therefore, just before this, remember that the Virgin back then, the Virgin Mary represents the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there will be a conversation with the Church, a heavenly conversation. And let's leave it there. Now notice, the Church of this end time, the Church Bride, represents Mary. In other words, Mary, 2,000 years ago, represents the Church Bride of this time. And just as Gabriel had this conversation back then with Mary, Jesus' mother, at this end time, he had that conversation with the Church Bride. Now, let us see what he told us there in Luke chapter 1. Verse 30 and on. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Just as he spoke to Mary back then, he spoke to Mary now, which is the Church Bride. Spoke to her about that son, who in his second coming would be the one who would restore the throne of David. And he would be the one that would be born to the Church Bride. The one who would sit on the throne of David. Now, he speaks to us here in this message. Our brother Branham, on page. It's an excerpt from the Book of Quotations. Page 33, on paragraph 282. And standing there was an angel, the mighty Gabriel. He's a messenger to the Jews. Remember, Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ. The angel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. The Bible said so. And there he writes, Gabriel equals announces the second coming of Christ. What we saw in the time of Jesus regarding the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord, there was a forerunner, John the Baptist. There was an angel bringing that revelation to Mary of that son that she would have and what that son would be. And we saw the fulfillment of that son in Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter from Nazareth, the one forerun. And at the same time, there was a forerunner, the Reverend William Marion Branham. And there was an angel in flesh bringing us those good tidings, those news. And there is a forerunner. And there is the forerun of whom they spoke of, another carpenter, but not from Nazareth, a Cayellan from Puerto Rico. In other words, the same thing we saw back then, today, we are seeing it at this end time. It is parallel in every way, as Brother Branham said. Therefore, what we are seeing today is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. It is the fulfillment of what was promised. Every word of our Brother Branham, everything he spoke, has not fallen to the ground. Now notice of what Dr. William Soto tells us here in that message, subjecting ourselves to God's order. Now, after the different angel messengers, the seventh angel messenger also saw that there was an important position, and that if he managed to get a hold of it, the Hebrew people would be converted to Christ under the ministry of the Reverend William Branham. Or do you think he wanted to go to Israel to have a trip? He had everything ready. I will go there and preach, and I will call the leaders, and the Holy Spirit will start to discern through me, and then they will believe. But the Holy Spirit told him, don't go, it's not the time, and it has to be according to the Scripture. The iniquity of the Gentiles has not yet, and three dots. Now notice in the message, the 70 weeks of Daniel, preached by the Reverend William Branham. He tells us on page 30, which is the page 30, because it's on paragraph 150. He tells us, paragraph 150, page 30, paragraph 150, Israel returning to their homeland, Israel. Let me just say this now while I guess it's off tape. Let me say this. The very hour that Israel become a nation, the reason I've always believed for my class here that there was something that I'd have a part before I die of getting Israel back to the Lord. And there he writes, Brother Branham would have a part in bringing Israel back. Because when the very hour by the Pan American chart that Israel was declared a nation for the first time for 2,000 years, since they've been scattered, not a people, It was that very same hour, exactly to the hour, that the angel of the Lord met me up yonder and sent me to the with the gospel. The very same thing, May the 7th, 1946. Now, then, another thing that gives me to know. It's restoring the heart of the children back to the fathers, and the heart of the fathers to the children. The message. Notice Malachi 4, not 3, 4. Another thing. When Billy, my son, and I, Brother Aaron Baxter, was on our road to Palestine, after we had met the Jews at Brother Eggenbright's, and they seen the meeting, Louis Petris has sent these Bibles over there, and he said, these Jews come, said, if you will call up a bunch of the leaders of Israel, I mean, not these new rabbis with all their ceremonies, but call the real Israelite leaders together. And we have read this New Testament, and we know that when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things, like the woman at Samaria. When we know that Moses said our Messiah would be a prophet. And when you can tell them and show them by the scriptures, that which we will get in tonight's message, that they had to be darkened and their hearts cut off so that the Gentile space could come. And there he writes, for the Gentiles to come in, that we'd have a time of reconciliation for the Gentiles, and their hearts were hardened just exactly like it was in the time of Joseph. And there to the left, he writes, Joseph, in the time of Joseph and so forth. And then bring those Jews to a place and call those men from that audience, just like you do these Gentiles here, by that inspiration of the Spirit. Because they said, if this Jesus, if he is the Messiah and your words are true, then he is not dead and he is alive. And if he is alive, he promised to be in his servants, his disciples. And if we can see he do the sign of the prophet, then we will believe that he is the Messiah. What a perfect thing. Exactly right. Then what would that do? A nation will be born in one day amongst the leaders. Now remember that he told us that they will see him among the Gentiles. But remember that everything is fulfilled progressively. And moments and acts are fulfilled where that stage is then open and God begins to work. Now notice, on page 22, paragraph 176, there the Reverend William Branham tells us, and there is them two witnesses, And when they tormented the church or the world by their preaching and received back the Jews and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe, when they see Jesus coming for the bride, they'll say, "Lo, this is our God who we waited on." That's Him. But He's not coming for them. He comes for His bride. And His bride, when Joseph went into Egypt, he did not take his brethren with him. But he got his bride there, absolutely. But when he made himself known to his brethren, there was nobody present. That's exactly right. And when he makes himself known to these Jews, there'll be nobody there but the Jews. There's them who killed Joseph standing there. And he said, "Well, I am Joseph, your brother." This upcoming week, the scripture, because the Hebrew people always have a scripture to read. And it is when Joseph went to his brethren, when he was 17 years old. And they have another scripture. But notice, in 2016, he told some people who were going to give me a title, and he said to them, "Tell them that he has been in the ministry for 25 years. He stated that it was from my 17th age. That is, when I was 17 years old. That angel was showing something there in that year, 1991. Now let us continue here. There is them who killed Joseph standing there. And he said, "Well, I'm Joseph, your brother." And he wept. And they said, "Now we're in for it, because we killed him." The same thing, those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before the coming now. Of the persecution running them back into their homeland. It's shooing them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder. When the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride, and they'll see him, they'll say, "That's the one we've waited on. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings." Why with healing in his wings? Because the one that they are waiting for comes with the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Now notice how they already knew him. Because they went a few times there to the palace where Joseph was in Egypt. And then it was that he revealed himself to them. Now let us continue here on page 31 of the 70 weeks of Daniel. He says, "A nation will be born in one day amongst the leaders. Every one of them would say, 'We know it.'" When that rabbi says that, that settles it. A nation would be born in one day. Israel would be born in one day. And there he writes, the eighth day, a nation will be born. And I was on my road and stood at Cairo, Egypt, with the ticket in my hand. and 15 or 20 minutes of calling time, they were fixing to make the call. Now, I was seeing that Cairo and here in Kigali and Durban, they are in the same line. In other words, we are in the center. Kigali is, they say that here, this place is the heart of Africa. In other words, I have come to speak to the heart. Because we are here from heart to heart. But now notice, our brother Branham in Cairo, with his ticket in hand to go to Israel. Why did he allow him go all the way there to have all that whole preparation of tickets and everything? A tremendous logistics. And then when he was about to board, he sends him back. Now notice, he says, and I walked down to see a little piece of the ebony with a little elephant made out of ebony with an ivory tusk. And I was going to send it to a doctor friend of mine, Dr. Sam Adair, for a paperweight. And I was looking at it, and something said to me, "This is not yet the hour. Stay out of Palestine." And to the right he writes, "The hour for Israel." So I thought, that was just me thinking that. And I went on. Something said, notice, God speaking to the prophet there, "This is not the hour." And I went out behind the hangar. I raised up my head to God. I said, "God, was that you speaking to me? See what a person has to do when he sees or feels that God is speaking to him. Go to the presence of God and say to him, 'Lord, if that's you, help me, guide me to make the right move.'" Said, "This is not the hour. Stay out of Palestine." There he draws a cornerstone and the seventh age. There where it starts from paragraph 156. "This is not the hour." And there, kind of an arrow towards the seventh age. "This is not the time." Then I took my ticket and changed it and went from there up through Rome and come back to Lisbon in Portuguese and from there back to the United States. The hour was not yet. The iniquity of the Gentiles hasn't filled up yet. Just to the end of the cup. But someday that will be. And God will send somebody there that's a prophet. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. Surely the Lord will do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. And will prove to them. I trust that God will raise him up right away. Whoever he may be, thou raise him quickly. In other words, whoever who is what? That instrument, that veil of flesh. I believe it has to come. That's what we're studying this for, that we're so close. On page 36, he told us that just as Peter and Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles through the ministries of Moses and Elijah, which they were representing, typifying, the gospel would return to the Hebrew people. And he says that the rapture will take place. Therefore, something has to happen first with the Hebrew people before the rapture, and also with the group of Brother Branham. Because there is a people, there is a group of elect, believers in the message of Brother Branham, whom will come up to the age of the cornerstone and will be transformed and raptured also. There is a group, and there is a number. And I know that number. Because you will notice all of that is in between the lines. The opening of the fourth seal contains that mystery, and the opening, therefore, of that messianic ministry when it is open to the church, which is the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord to the church, and the seventh trumpet to the Hebrew people, which is Moses and Elijah. They come with a commission to seal the bride as well as the 144,000. Now, which group do you belong to? Because, notice, there is a group that is selected as the bride. But remember that the lost tribes, those 10 northern tribes, were scattered, and most of them are among Christianity. And the two southern tribes, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, those, most of them, are in Israel. Although they are also tribes, people who belong to the northern tribes there. Now, if there is a number of elect among the Jews, the Hebrews, 144,000, there is a group, a number, who have gone up, and those who will not go up also, from the seventh age to the age of the cornerstone, believers in the message of Brother Branham. There is a number there. And there is also a number of the elect who have fully come into the age of the cornerstone. Therefore, by putting those two groups together, the church bride becomes the church bride, where there is a number. There is a number in the 144,000, and there is a number of the bride. You, just thank God that you are part of that number. In other words, if it is just one, as Brother William used to tell us, I want to be that one. In other words, you don't worry that you are in there, in that number. What makes you so sure of that? Because you believe that promise. And you believe that word. And since you are here today, and those who have not been able to come, who are far away, by some situations they couldn't make it. I'm referring to you also. All those who are in Africa, believers in the message. Now, he goes on to say, and remember, the very minute that the Jews receive Christ, the Gentile church is gone. Then the Gentiles had the plagues poured out upon them, the tribulation. There he writes plagues, he wrote it to the left. And also upward there to the left, he writes Moses to the Jews. Now, all this would be happening before the Great Tribulation begins. As he tells us on page 412, of the Book of the Seals. He tells us, let us see here, Book of the Seals, page 412, paragraph 260. It says, now Jacob, as he come up now, the first thing you know, he got a longing to go where? Back to the homeland. Oh, that's exactly what Israel has done. Jacob is Israel. He just had his name changed, you know. He got out there and he got all the money he had and he could get and took it any way he could from his kinfolks or anybody else. So cheating, stealing, lying, any way he could get it, he got it. See, he did. And then when he starts back to home, he got to get a homesick feeling in his heart. But as he started back on his road going back, he met God. Then his name was changed. See? But in this time, he was so worried because he was afraid Esau was coming after him. See? Now remember, Esau, that is Rome, Edom. Esau is also represented in the beast, in the man of sin, the Antichrist. And watch the money, proposition, just like the Jews will try making this covenant with Rome, see? In their money proposition. Above that, he writes, the covenant with Rome. Notice it, that Esau didn't need his money, neither does Rome. She's got the wealth of the world in her hand. See, but it didn't work. But we find out now that Israel, in that time of trouble, and there he writes, by Mussolini, Stalin, and Hitler, when he was Jacob, he wrestled with that got a hold of something that was real. There was a man come down. Now, above, he writes in the margin above that, the angel equals Moses and Elijah. There was a man come down. Jacob got his hands around him. And he stayed there. And the fellow said, I must be going now. It's coming daylight. Oh, that breaking of the day, see, it was fixing to come day. And above, he writes, seventh millennium. In the message, letting off the pressure, preached by the Reverend William Branham, he tells us in this message, let us pause here a moment from the Book of the Seals. Our brother Branham tells us here, on one occasion when he was here in Africa, and he tells us, one time I was in Africa and I was watching a sheep feeding. It was a lamb or a middle-grown sheep. And the little fellow was eating very peaceful. And all at once, he got restless. And he would take a bite. He'd look around. He'd take a bite. When he was peaceful, I was watching him. He looked just as calm. And I thought, isn't that peaceful out there? Look at that little fellow. The shepherd that had been watching them had gone to the corral, back native colored. In other words, he had left the sheep there, and he went to the corral for a moment. Our brother Branham was watching all of this. And I watched this little fellow. And after a while, he got nervous. And I thought, what's the matter with that little guy? I was watching him, of course. And he writes, from the sixth dimension. From where was he watching him? From the sixth dimension. From where is Brother Branham watching us today? From the sixth dimension. And look, he says, I was watching him cause through binoculars. And there he writes, Moses and Elijah. In other words, at this end time, and more specifically today, God is looking at the African people through the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Therefore, when that persecution comes, as Brother Branham says, don't get scared. There's a light that will say, or that will take the church, will rapture her. That is in the book of quotations. Now notice, he says, and he got so nervous, he looked this way and that way. He started bleating. He didn't know what to do. Notice how Israel has also been at this end time. Now they're under 7 frontal attacks. And another one is joining in. Frontal war attacks. And they are trembling. But the God of Israel is with them and will never forsake them. He started bleeding. He didn't know what to do, I thought. What made the little fellow get so excited all at once? Now, he was in a little pasture field. But way over behind there, I noticed something raise up and let down again. About half a mile from him. He's good in the weeds. A lion sleeping up. Remember that at this end time, the enemy will come as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But who identified him? The ministry of Elijah. He saw it among the weeds. Remember the quote we talk about in a study? How that serpent's trail, how it came slithering through the weeds. But then it was uncovered on the road. And it was identified. Now Elijah knew the danger that was coming. He couldn't see it. But the lion had smelled the sheep, and he had to get quick now to get him. Before the shepherd got him out of the way. So then, watching him, tension had built. And in the distance, this lion was slipping up real easy. Yet, the sheep couldn't see the lion, but there is something inside of him that told him that danger was at hand. And he writes, danger at hand. That's the way it is today. That there is something inside of people that lets them know something is fixing to happen. We know it. The Christians knows it. Like Israel there, in what we are reading that we will continue to read in the book of the seals. The world knows it. The drunkard knows it. The gambler knows it. The businessmen, the government, the UN, that is the United Nations, all of them know that something is fixing to happen. It's built a tension. Now notice, here the Hebrew people, when they see, let us see, he says, but Jacob said, page 413, but Jacob said, I'm not going to leave you, you can't go, I'm going to stay right with you. See, I want things change here. That's that 144,000, that money scheming bunch and things like that, when they see the true, genuine thing to get a hold of, there stands Moses, and there stands Elijah. In other words, just as Jacob held on to the angel and wouldn't let him go, likewise the Hebrew people will take hold of that instrument and will not want to let him go. They believe their prophets. Amen. They wrestle with God until 144,000 of the tribes of Israel are called out right there. That's just before the tribulation period. Above there, he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And Luke 17, 30. And upward to the right, he writes, before the tribulation. Oh, how wonderful, also Jacob's trouble. They'll preach them to prophets, they'll preach like John the Baptist. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, Israel, repent what? Repent from your sins, your unbelief, and turn back to God. Now, our brother William continues to tell us in the message that we are reading, subjecting ourselves to God's order. So after being so close, that is Brother Branham, there in Cairo, to take the plane to Israel, he had to turn back. If he had gone to Israel, first of all, he could not succeed, because he did not have the ministry of Elijah in his fifth manifestation, and he did not have the ministry of Moses in his second manifestation. Notice on page 412, tells us, there in the previous paragraph, on paragraph 256, he says, and there everyone headed that way. But to all that's got their names on the book of life, God will call. They'll hear it. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. Only thing we got to do is make a sheep call. And he writes on the left, my sheep, the seven thunders, the seventh seal. Goats don't know it. Notice. But you see the sheep call, my sheep hear my voice. Why? What is the voice? I want to tell you what a voice is. A voice is a spiritual sign. He said to Moses, if they won't hear the voice of the first sign, they will hear the voice of the second sign. My sheep hear my voice. And to the right, he writes upward, the first sign, Elijah. The second sign, Moses and Elijah. At the bottom there, on that same paragraph, he writes the same thing. First sign, Elijah. Second sign, Moses and Elijah. In this book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, also tells us there, on page 103, on paragraph 150 to 152, he tells us, now you remember when the Jews was returning back, them Jews from down in the other nations, and the Look magazine gave the article of it. I read a clipping from some paper, some religious magazine, that when them planes went down there to pick up these Jews way down in Iran, and I don't know where all they were, just scattered down. Now, them is the true Jews. Them that never had an opportunity. Now, brother, there is your 144,000. When we get to Revelation 11, you'll see them. Why does he say when we get to Revelation 11? Because that pertains to the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Revelation. That is the book of Revelation. He said, there are 12 tribes of God, 12 tribes of Asher, 12 tribes of Reuben, 12 tribes, three dots. And where were they all standing? On Mount Sinai. There to the right, he writes Revelation 7, 2 and 14, verse 1. On Mount Sinai, Jews, back in the homeland, there they were. They were the ones that wasn't this Wall Street crook bunch. No, sir. It was the real Jews. There he writes, to the left upward, the 144,000 on Mount Sinai. And when this old rabbi stood out there and seen this plain land, then Jews, you read it in the magazine, they were still plowing with wooden plows. And when they seen that thing set down out there, they wasn't going around it. That old rabbi stood out there and said, remember our prophet said, when we get back to our homeland, we'll be carried back on the wings of an eagle. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, the sign that the prophets foretold. We're even fixing to hit that seventh week for them. Now remember that he said he wouldn't miss a minute. Page 22, on this book of the 70 weeks of Daniel. 22, paragraph 105. Let us see it there, where he says that he would not miss by 1 minute. If you can find it, it's on 22. Now, do you understand, class? If we can find out what these 70 weeks are, we know when the consummation is. Oh my! God help us to know it. it tells us exactly somewhere in these pages. Exactly from that time till this time. Until the consummation. And it won't miss it 1 minute. How God's great word. And there he writes, that will not fail. Remember that God deals with the Gentiles for the same amount of time he dealt with Israel. 1954 years. Later on, we will read a part there where he writes the last 3.5 years of the 1954 years. But 1954 years, if you start it from the date of the year 70, of the destruction of the temple back then in Israel, that will give you a certain number. And then from 71 to 72, in other words, there is a period of time there. Then adding those 1954 years. Now, where are we at today? We are closer than what we can imagine. Now, he goes on to say, on page 103, where we stopped, paragraph 152, I think myself standing out there when Brother Petru sent down them little testaments, and they read them. They said, well, if this be the Messiah, let us see him do the sign of the prophet. If he isn't dead, he is alive. They said, he raised up again. He lives in his church. Let us see him do the sign of the prophet, and we'll believe him. The Jews always believes. They know the Messiah was to be prophet. And to the side he writes, the prophet equals the Messiah. Now notice on page 2a, on paragraph 15, on the book of quotations, the Reverend William Branham tells us, that's the reason I'm praying. That's the reason I'm crying to God. Lord, I want to get to those Jews. Let me start in down there in Africa, work with a few of those Gentiles and Mohammedans. God has allowed me in my ministry, before going to Israel, to begin in Africa, to start with you. God fulfilling his word. It is the ministry of Elijah, riding that ministerial trail again. And let me go over here in India and try to produce and show to them the real Lord Jesus Christ with his powers, his miracles, his baptism, everything, and the Holy Ghost. Then when they come to Jerusalem, Brother Beeler, this was what you were asking about. When they come to Jerusalem and stand out there and say, now, if Jesus is the Son of God that raised from the dead, he knows the things just like he did back there in the beginning. He can produce the same life that he did back there. And if he does, will you accept him as your personal Savior? And then show that God, by his great power and things of his resurrected power, he is with us. Then when they do that, say, now you that have received him as your personal Savior, I hope there will be thousands of them. Say, the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is right here for you. Then the gospel goes back to the Jews right there at that time. Then there will be a revival among those Jews right there. They'll carry thousands and tens of thousands and 144,000 into the kingdom of God, will be sealed by the sealing angel. By the sealing angel. Here in this version, it says in the book, by the sealing angel. And above that, he writes Moses. And to the right, upwards, he writes Moses and Elijah and the 144,000. Where he says, when they come to Jerusalem and stand out there, there he draws a star of David to the left. Notice, he always marked and identified the work of the two olive trees with a star of David. Because he says, in the message, is this the sign of the end, sir? That the star of David is the sign of the end of time. In other words, the sign of the end of time is the instrument where God would be operating those ministries. Because the greatest sign that God has on planet Earth, in each age and in each dispensation, is a prophet. And right there, as soon as that sealing angel begins to seal that 144,000, the Gentile church door is closed. And the Jews take the Holy Ghost to the Jews. And they'll have a revival that'll sweep the entire world. Hallelujah. And the power of God will be manifested amongst the Jews. There to the left, he also writes Revelation 7, verse 2, and 11, 3 to 7, and 14, verse 1. Now notice, he goes on to say, here in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, and when I stood out yonder at Brother Engelbreit's that day at the place, and them Jews standing there said, just come to our place, our people. I said, sure, I'll be glad to come. Just made a decision too quick. I got to Cairo, Egypt. I said, go gather up a few thousands of the leaders. Bring them out on the plane somewhere. We'll find out whether he is still a prophet or not. Amen. Well, let's see what he will do. Oh, that was just right in their hand. That's what they wanted. If they could see that, they'd believe it. So, what did I do? Got down there at Cairo and started to go up there. Don't have my ticket. About 20 minutes to calling time. There was 20 minutes left for the calling. Remember that the half hour of silence, and in the half hour of silence, is where that whole mystery of the seventh seal and the sixth seal are contained. In other words, what was not fulfilled in Brother Branham was not fulfilled because it was not the time assigned by God. Neither did he have the corresponding ministry. Something said, not now. The cup of iniquities of the Gentiles isn't full yet. The Amorites hasn't been fulfilled. Stay out of there. I thought, maybe I just imagined that. And I went out behind the hangar and prayed. Said, stay out of there now. Then I took my ticket and went somewhere else. I did not go, for the hour isn't yet. Now notice what our Brother William continues to say. He could have managed to convert many people to Christ. but he had to place them in the seventh age. And then, that's when the denominations will try to get a hold of them and bring them to denominational systems. Now noticing the message, recognizing your day and its message, preached by the Reverend William Branham on page 19. He tells us, Balaam never recognized the angel until the mule spoke in tongues. Balaam could not recognize that an angel was standing in his way. A blinded preacher could not recognize that it was God standing in the way, trying to keep him from selling his gift for money. And when the mule spoke in a human voice, then Balaam recognized that it was the angel standing in his way. Trying to keep him from doing what he was doing. Oh, you blinded denominations. If God can use a mule that's dumb to speak in a language that he doesn't know, to reveal to a minister that he's out of the way, can't he use a man to do the same thing? Blinded people. If Ahab had only recognized his day, he would have never condemned the prophet, Micah, with the word of God of promise to him. In 1 Kings chapter 22, when Ahab stood there that day, and Jehoshaphat, and when they had 400 prophets out there prophesying, saying, go up. Everything is all right. Ahab, you're living in sin. You've made us great denomination. We're great people. We're great ministry. Here we are, we're 400 trained priests or prophets. We are 400 trained in the word and theology. We know all about it. So now it proved they didn't know all about it. The man that they called a crazy man in the generation before them, Elijah, the true prophet of God, had prophesied, thus saith the Lord, the dogs will lick your blood, Ahab. See? But those priests, man-made prophets, thought they had it all fixed up just right. They said, Father Ahab, go up. The Lord is with you. You've got the scripture because God gave this land to Israel. It belongs to Israel. Go up. The Lord is with you. Oh my. But, you know, Jehoshaphat, one that hadn't mingled in sin like Ahab, had. He saw things a little different. He said, isn't there another one? He said, we got one here, but I hate him. See? What was God doing? Chopping his people out with a prophet again. And there he draws to the left the Star of David. And he writes, God chops his people out with a prophet. Ahab said, I hate him. He doesn't do nothing but just condemn me all the time. And you know, I am a great man. I wouldn't have this seminary down here if I wasn't a great believer. I've got well-trained men. I sit them down there with books and Bibles and everything else to teach this. And I know they are great men. But if Ahab had only recognized who that guy was, this poor little ragged-looking fellow, the son of Imla, standing there tell him, thus saith the Lord, he had never made that fatal mistake that he made. But he condemned Micaiah. He never did. O people, recognize the age that you're living in. Look what's happened. Look what's promised. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And from the age that we're living in, an arrow towards the seventh age. And from what's promised, towards the cornerstone. Now notice that if he had gone to Israel, our brother William, as he tells us, he would have succeeded, but he would have brought them in to the seventh age. Now notice, it says, our brother William continues to say, the call to the Hebrew people is already established and cannot be otherwise, and God cannot work differently than how he has already determined, even if it isn't the most attractive to the people. In other words, no, I don't like that instrument. I'd rather stay with the previous one, or the one before that, or when the one before that one. In other words, those of the group of Wesley may say, I'm staying with Wesley, or with Luther. Or notice, many still haven't understood that we are in a new age and in a new dispensation. And they have even said, I'm staying with Brother Branham, or I'm staying with the message of Brother Branham. I am waiting for him to come back. But notice that when the church bride began on the day of Pentecost, it went growing from age to age, and God was sending a messenger for each age, gathering the elect of that age. And that's how it's been in all ages. And when God took his messenger, he closed that eye and opened another one. In other words, he brought another messenger. And that's how it's always been. And at the same time, we are in the time of the age of the cornerstone, where there isn't only one eye, but the two eyes. The two eyes of the Lamb. In other words, the ministries of Moses and Elijah are present in the age of the cornerstone. Now notice that the people, when they want for God to fulfill something of what God is promising, when God fulfills it, to be in their own way. It is at the way that God has already predestined from before the foundation of the world. But the elect of God, it doesn't matter in the way in which God fulfills it, they are looking at the promise. And when they capture by revelation from above, which is the Holy Spirit working in the midst of the people fulfilling the prophecies, this is what I was waiting for. The way he is fulfilling it, even though it seems to be someone who doesn't fulfill the qualifications for that, you say what God says. I'm sending this one because he fills up the requirements. And who can add anything to what God has already said? Then he that is of God says, well, if you fulfill it in that way, Lord, then I believe it. I receive it with all my heart, with all my soul. And there, you become part of that prophecy. And everything corresponding to what the fulfillment of that word brings, which comes in human flesh, all the promises contained there are yours. No one can plunk them out from your hand. Why? Because you have received the one who brings the fulfillment of that prophecy of those promises. Now he says, even if it is not the most attractive to the people, God will do it as He has already planned it. Now notice, He tells us in the 70 weeks of Daniel, on page 106, paragraph 169 to 170, He says, Brother Branham says, and remember, what's these two prophets going to do when they come? Remember, there he's referring to the ministries of Moses and Elijah. This beast, this prince that shall scatter the power of the holy people, what will he do? He will break his covenant with them after 3.5 years. He'll oust them. Now, people think that's communism. That's just because the Spirit of God hasn't dealt with you yet. It is not communism. It's religion. The Bible said it'll be so close, it'll deceive the very elect if possible. Jesus said so. See? We're in the last. And there he writes, the mistake of the Jews is joining the confederation. Now notice in the book of quotations, on page 57, paragraph 494, there it tells us, the spirit of Elijah off of this Gentile church will just continue right on into that Jewish church. Go right on in and called Moses with him. That is, from the seventh age, he goes up to the age of the cornerstone. There he drew a cornerstone and the ages, and that arrow towards the cornerstone. Hallelujah, you see it? And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews. He writes, the year of Jubilee, Leviticus 25. That they rejected the Messiah. Amen. You see it? It'll be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. And above that, he writes, Moses and Elijah. And where it says the spirit of Elijah, he writes, 50 Elijah. There to the left, also upward, he writes, the Jewish age equals dispensation of the kingdom, an age of the cornerstone. That is, he drew a little cornerstone. And he also writes the Gentile age. Now, he continues to say here in the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, these two prophets, what will they do? It's Moses and Elijah that will rise on the scene. They'll tell those Jews their mistake. And out of that Jewish bunch that's there now, to be the 144,000, God will call by these prophets. What is it? The spirit of Elijah, of this Gentile church, will just continue right on into that Jewish church. Go right on in and call Moses with him. That's the paragraph we read in the book of quotations. Hallelujah. You see it? And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews that they rejected the Messiah. Amen. You see it? It'll be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. And they'll hate those Jews so bad till they'll kill them. There to the left, he writes, Elijah and Moses. He wrote it upwards. And also to the right, he writes upwards, the year of Jubilee, message of Pentecost. And they were hated by all nations. And in the midst of the week, because they had raised up a great, powerful 144,000, They had the Holy Ghost. And brother, you talk about doing miracles, they did them. They stopped the heavens, and it didn't rain in the days of their prophecy. Smote the earth with plagues as oft they wanted to. They give plagues and everything else. They'll give the Romans a hard way to go. But finally, they'll be killed. In other words, the ministries of Moses and Elijah in that prophet. Now, he spoke to us. Let us see in page 57 itself. There on paragraph 599. When this happens, because notice, there, he says, oh, paragraph 499, and oh, watch these three prophets, or these two prophets, when they raise up here, and in the middle of the week, in other words, halfway the week, the 3.5 years that are left for the Lord to carry out in the midst of the Hebrew people, which are the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of the prophecy of Daniel. Notice, those last 3.5 years pertain to the Great Tribulation. But notice, that is why when he once said, if we knew the exact day that the Great Tribulation begins, we would know the time when those ministries would begin that work of those 3.5 years in the midst of the church. It is a spare time. In other words, he says, and in the middle of the week, they're cut off like that, and then starts the battle of Armageddon. Then God begins to speak himself. Then he stands, and there he wrote resurrection, and begins to fight. Then prophets are striking the earth. They are preaching the name of Jesus Christ. They are baptized in the same way. They're doing the same thing that the first Pentecostals fathers did, and many are following them. And there is one of the writings, Moses and Elijah, died before the 3.5 years. Now he continues to say in the 70 weeks of Daniel, but remember, that's over in the 70th week. And the church is in glory. Amen. The wedding supper is going on. Yes. Now notice, that's where we see her coming back to the millennial temple over here at the end of the Jewish age, the anointed. The anointed. Notice that in the law, he was the Father. In the grace, the Son. The dispensation of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit. He was Lord. He was Jesus. He was the Christ. Him with his new name, he is the Anointed One. Now, if God has made Jesus Lord, now, here he come riding on a white horse, those followed him on white horses, horse powers, dressed in white, blood. Remember when he once called him Dr. Moses. Now he says, or vestures dipped in blood wrote on him the word of God. And he writes, the word. He come as a mighty conqueror. Yes, sir. To set up the millennium. Come into the temple. glory. There he meets that 144,000. Now, after that 70th week here, the 70th week, this goes on during the 70th week. In the three in the middle of it, he breaks it because he kills those two Pentecostal prophets that smites the earth. And boy, that's what we say in Puerto Rico, muchacho, boy. He curses that church and he burns her with fire. And he draws Star of David to the right. Who curses it? That instrument, where the Holy Spirit is operating those ministries. And why she, we find out there, even the shipmates standing out said, "Alas, alas, that great immortal city of Rome, she come to her end in 1 hour. She was blowed to pieces. God knows how to do things." And one of the angels looked over and said, "Why, the blood of every martyr of Christ was found in her." For her deceiving, going out here and organize, and making all this other kind of stuff, and polluting the church, and brought them things in there, and martyred the very ones that tried to uphold it and tried to bring them out. Now, he writes there, upward to the left, Rome equals Babylon. Revelation 18, 17-19. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and now, in other words, this is what he was saying. Even if it is not the most attractive to the people, God is going to do it as he has already planned it. And now, our brother Branham is gone, and the Hebrew people are waiting there. And notice, our brother William left us, and the Hebrew people are there waiting. But notice, he tells us in the Book of the Ages, on page 326, which in the book in Spanish is 369, on the red book, on this page, which in English is 326. But notice how the final vindication that the Reverend William Branham was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, what he tells us here, though he will not be popular, he will be vindicated by God, as Jesus authenticated John, and the Holy Ghost authenticated Jesus. We can well expect this man will be first of all authenticated by the Spirit working in his life in acts of power that are indisputable and found nowhere else. And Jesus himself in returning, and there he writes, with Moses and Elijah, will authenticate him. Even as he authenticated John. John witnessed that Jesus was coming. And so will this man, like John. And he writes, Elijah, witness that Jesus is coming. And on top he writes, Moses and Elijah. Revelation 11 is the same as Revelation 19, the coming of the Lord. What the seventh seal is to the church, the coming of the Lord, is the seventh trumpet to Israel, Moses and Elijah. And the very return of Christ will prove that this man, in other words, He is speaking of himself. This man indeed was the forerunner of his second coming. This is the final evidence that this indeed is the prophet of Malachi 4. For the end of the Gentile period, and there he writes, the last 3.5 of the year 1954, will be Jesus himself appearing. And there he writes again, Elijah and Moses. Then it will be too late for those who have rejected him. And the Reverend William Branham, for those who haven't received him yet, or wish to receive him, he was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, and the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels is the final vindication that the Reverend William Branham was the forerunner of the coming of the Lord. That is why in this hour, I tell you, and I reiterate to you, that the Reverend William Branham was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. In other words, the presence in the midst of the church, the presence of those ministries is the final vindication that Brother Branham was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. Today I testify those words. Just like Jesus in his first coming said that John the Baptist was his forerunner. At this hour, I bear witness that the Reverend William Branham was my forerunner. As simple as that. Now notice on page 327, which is on your book 366 or 371 on the red book in Spanish, but he says 327 in English. See, immediately after the coming of this Elijah, the earth will be cleansed by fire and the wicked burned to ashes. And there he draws an arrow and writes, Moses and Elijah, sixth seal. After the scripture, when he reads there Malachi 4 from 1 to 6, at the end, that paragraph begins. See, immediately after the coming, I don't know if the page matches 327, so that you have it there. There, after the scripture, there that paragraph begins. And there is where he writes, Moses and Elijah, which is the sixth seal. Now notice, in the message, what lies behind the door, which was preached on October 15, 2008, in Lima, Peru, he tells us, now the door of the kingdom of heaven was open on the day of Pentecost. And in Luke it says, on chapter 13, that when the master of the house gets up and has shut the door, then they will come knocking at the door. And in the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, in Matthew 25, verse 10 to 13, it says that when the foolish virgin went to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him. Where? To the marriage. And the door was shut. See? There is a time when the door will be closed. And when it is closed, the time of redemption, the time to receive Christ and obtain the new birth, is already closed. Now notice in the message, the voice that will shake the heavens and the earth, he tells us in that message, he says, and then in Revelation chapter 11, the two olive trees are prophesying. What is it? It is the ministry of the two olive trees in the one who eats the book, who is represented in John the Apostle eating that book. He is representing the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ there, who at the last day will receive the title deed, the book, and will eat it. And he will prophesy the divine judgments that will come upon the earth. He will prophesy them before many people, nations, and tongues. Therefore, we are very near to the arrival of that moment to begin, of prophesying before many peoples and tongues. Therefore, it hadn't happened yet at that time. He was not prophesying before many people, nations, and tongues, because he says, we are closed from that happening. And he says, but mercy is still extended in heaven. There is still mercy in heaven. We are still in the dispensation of grace. The door of mercy is still open. In other words, he, that was in 2005, he was telling us where we were. And then you see the message of 2018. There he told us, the door of the dispensation of grace will close soon. Therefore, the time that we're living in is a time outside of the dispensation of grace. That angel stood and said, there should be time no more. The time of redemption is over. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 and on. Now, he goes on to say, that doesn't mean that there will no longer be preaching. There are people coming to the altar to receive Christ. But the time to receive Christ and obtain the new birth will be over. Now, if the door of the dispensation of grace is closed, then which Christ are they receiving? They must be receiving the Anointed One, the Messiah, in His second coming, which in the tenth vision, He sees people weeping, with their hands raised, receiving the Lord. But if the time of mercy under the dispensation of grace is closed, where are they going to find mercy? Under the ministries of Moses and Elijah. So, it is the door that is above, in the age of the cornerstone, where he said in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and on, come up hither, to come into the age of the cornerstone, one requires to enter through that door. And the door is Christ, it is the Messiah, the Anointed One. In His first coming, there was a door to enter into the dispensation of grace. And that door had a name, because the name is placed on the door. Therefore, if that door is closed, then where will they enter in at this end time? The third pool, remember, is for the church bride, is for the foolish, and is for the lost, and the Hebrew people. And if they are going to enter through a door, then that door has a name. Now notice what he says there. Let us say that those who come afterwards, then are prepared to go through the great tribulation and give their lives in the great tribulation. Because the third pool will be for the church bride, it will be for the foolish virgins, and it will also be for the world, and therefore for the Jews who will be impacted and will see Christ coming for His church. That is in the Book of Quotations, page 119, paragraph 1057. In other words, they will see the mighty angel coming down from heaven, coming for His church. That mighty angel is Christ in His second coming. And that is Christ. It is the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, coming with the little book open in His hand. Not coming with a glorified physical body, but coming with His heavenly body, in which He has been in the midst of His church the whole time. But that same Holy Spirit that was in the midst of the ages, of which Reverend William Branham said on page 154 of the Book of the Seals, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, that is the mighty angel. That is the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire. Then we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says, and we are not going to explain much there, because there lies the mystery of the seventh seal. Because that is the angel that cries out as when a lion roars, and seven thunders utter their voices. Now, how do they utter them? It says in the Book of Quotations, that is by prophet, page 82 on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 696, tells us, look where the voices was, the thunders, not in heaven, on earth. The thunders never uttered from the heavens. They uttered from the earth. After is all done, completed, then these seven thunders, voices, is the only thing that stuck to the book that's not revealed. It's not even written in the book. Above he writes, the voices of the thunders were on earth equals through a prophet. And he draws to the left a cornerstone and the ages, and the arrow towards the cornerstone. Now where? In what age? In the age of the cornerstone. Oh my, I wish I could get that the people could actually don't fail. Please don't this time. I'm fixing to leave you. Don't fail. Now remember, there he was preaching, is this the sign of the end, sir? And he was going from east to west. In other words, he was going to preach the seals. From the west he was going to the east. Let us see. In other words, from the east to the west. We can check that later. See, there was a correction there. We will see that later. Now notice, he goes on to say, these seals are on the backside of the book, and at the time that the seventh angel is sounding, all the mysteries that are written in the book is completed. And immediately the book that was open and written within is closed. The mysteries of God is finished. There he draws Star of David to the left. And this is the mysteries of God, the going of the church, and all these other things. Now, when he begins to sound, the mystery will be finished. Now, note, then it's time for the seventh seal voices of Revelation 10 to be revealed. And above he writes, the voices of the seventh seal. And to the right, he also writes upward, the thunders equals the voices of the seventh seal. Now, here in this writing, in a Bible study where they put that paragraph, there for him he writes, the seven thunders, the voice of Christ in his coming, revealing to his church the seventh seal, his coming, and giving her the faith for transformation and rapture. now. Our brother William continues to say here, it is the voice of Christ speaking consecutively to His church, as He spoke to His church during the seven ages. But back then, it was through one. He paused when the messenger left. And then when the other one arrived, the other messenger, he spoke again. But here, in Revelation 10, he speaks consecutively. Now notice, as something very important to identify where he speaks consecutively in the message that will be seen today. Look there on page 23, where he says, and since the Lord comes with His angels, the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of Elijah, and the ministry of Moses will be there. That is why you find the Reverend William Branham in his message that foreruns the coming of the Lord, that he speaks of Jesus, he speaks of Elijah, and speaks of Moses, because the Son of Man comes with His angels with the two olive trees. The Lord comes, the mighty angel who comes down from heaven. He comes speaking as when a lion roars, because when the church is completed, He changes from high priest to king and lion and judge of all the earth. And when He speaks, He's already speaking as a lion, not as high priest, because mercy, the time of mercy ended. The time of redemption ends. The people who already received Christ are saved. And those who did not receive Him no longer have time to receive Him. But Christ continues to speak. He speaks as when a lion roars and seven thunders utter their voices. It is the voice of Christ speaking consecutively to His people. And it is the thunders crying as when a lion roars and seven thunders utter their voices. And then the thunders reveal the mystery of His coming. They reveal the mystery of the seventh seal, which is His coming. And they reveal the mystery of the new name, which we will be hearing later on. But notice, after the dispensation of grace is closed, He continues speaking. And what is He saying? The voices of the seven thunders will be speaking, which is the revelation of the seventh seal, which is the revelation of His coming. Now, it tells us in the message, the fourth generation, preached on November 4th, 2007, in Goiânia, Brazil, he says, for the restoration of the seed of Abraham to the promised land, there were four stages for the restoration. In other words, in the fourth generation, that fourth stage, they entered into the promised land. And now, in the time in which we are, four stages for the restoration of Israel would also take place. And also for the restoration of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, four stages would also take place. In the fourth, it is the entry into the promised land, the promised land of the new, eternal, immortal, incorruptible, and glorified body. So to enter with that body into the kingdom of Christ, to enter the eternal kingdom of God, and thus have the double portion, the heavenly body, which is obtained with the new birth, and the glorified physical body, which is for this end time, for the fourth generation. In the message, the restoration of the bride tree, there tells us on page 61, on this message, paragraph 482, God is the good husbandman. He pruned the tree that was all cut off of all dead limbs. What is He going to do? Burn them up there. Exactly. God is the husbandman of this tree. He takes care of it. He watches over his heritage. Now notice, let us see if it's here, where he writes, I think it's in this one. Where he writes that the tree, here it is, he writes, the tree of life equals a prophet. Now, notice, he watches over his heritage. What is his heritage? His own word. He watches over his word to confirm it, to watch it, see where he can get it. He is going to restore. So when these churches begin to organize and things like that, he just prunes them off and the church goes on. That is, he doesn't stop. That branch organizes, is pruned off, is cast out, and we continue growing. When the Lutherans said, we're going to become an organization, we'll be as big as the Catholic. All right, he just pruned off that branch, and Wesley took it right on, raised up another prophet. Then, soon as Wesley did it, well, Wesley died, the great prophet. What they'll do? Organized it. On come Pentecost. As soon as she died, he pruned that off. He's racing right on up, see? He's going to restore. Where does the fruits grow? It doesn't start down here on the bottom. It starts in the top. Where does the sun hit the tree first? Oh, glory, in the evening light, the top of the tree. And he writes, the sun in the top of the tree. And he draws a cornerstone to the right. Not down on the bottom branches, but up there in the top of the tree is where the fruit ripens at. And there he writes, the fruit ripens at the top. Amen. Do you love him? Amen. Would you serve him? Amen. Do you believe him? Amen. I sure do believe him with all my heart. Now, what is it? He's going to prune off them old dead vines as she comes up. All those organization vines till she gets right up in the top of the tree. There is where he's going to get his fruit. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Where will he get his fruit? Not in the first age, not in the second, not in the third, not in the fourth, not in the fifth, not in the sixth, not in the seventh, not in the gap. It's above in the cornerstone. Therefore, if you want to be raptured and you want to be caught up by that light, you have to be there because you will be in the wrong station, in the breach and in the ages. And he will come, he will take his children and you say, but wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? Hasn't it happened to you sometimes that you go to the airport and you go to a gate? In other words, to a door, a boarding gate. And if you're not watching, they might change the gate. And in that door or gate that you're supposed to be at, is making the call. And they make the call and you are in the wrong gate. And the door closes there. The plane leaves. And someone may ask you, who are you waiting for here? Well, I'm waiting here for them to call me, because this is where the last time I saw they were calling was from here. No, that flight leaves in another gate. He runs to the other gate, and the most you might be able to see is the person closing the gate. And you may knock and knock and knock, and no one will open up. What you can be seeing is, didn't they see there him ascending to heaven? Now notice. There are so many things that can be spoken about that. Because, notice in Revelation 11, will also be seen by many. But by then, notice, it will be already too late. Now notice, God prunes her, alright, they are dead and won't come into the presence of God, won't come in the first resurrection, but be with the vine fruit of the original organization, vine of God. They go into the organizational group, but they won't come with the fruit of the vine. But they won't come with the fruit of the vine. Now look, God never did put out an organization. The church puts the graft in, an organization, and God cuts it off. Cuts off his lifetime. It bears organizational fruit. But if that vine put forth a branch that comes out of the vine, it'll bear the same as that did. So you see, the first one was, and Rome sent their beetles over there and eat it off. But God is going to grow one so high that he can't touch it. And he writes, the tent. The tree goes from one place to another, from one dispensation to another dispensation. Now we know that the tree is the prophet. He goes from age to age, from dispensation to dispensation, bringing food to his people pertaining to that age and that dispensation. And he writes, dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the kingdom. From Luther, he went to Wesley. From Wesley to Pentecost. From Pentecost, he goes to the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. It is the tree of life. John chapter 1, verse 1 and on. It is Easter again for the true believer of his never-failing word. It's Eastern. It is resurrection. God has got people everywhere. It's Easter for them. Why? They have risen. Amen. Risen from those creeds and denominations. Come right up through them. It's Easter again. The royal seed has been hid in the roots. The Word. Hid back there in the Word for years and years and years. And just now begins to be revealed. It is Easter time. Predestinated from the foundation of the world, this church is begin to stand. Notice how that God predestinated in the beginning. I'm going to say it anyhow. All right. Notice here that to restore the first perfect tree in 3 days after its death, after the first tree's death, he restored it in 3 days. Is that right? He restored it back. There to the left, he drew a cornerstone and the ages. And he numbers the last three, and in the cornerstone he writes 4. Now the bright tree is also going to be restored in 3 ages. 3 stages, rather. 3 stages, it will be restored. Now look, what's justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost? 1, 2, 3. Now notice, after 3 days, the first tree restored as at the beginning, having the same signs, same wonders. Jesus come back. The same Jesus, doing the same thing. At the end of the third day, the signs appeared. Not the end of the first day. Oh, brother, I hope you're getting it. At the third day is when the real manifestation of Christ was made known. At the end of the third day. And he writes, on the fourth day. And he also, to the left upward, he writes, on the fourth day. Not at the first day, dead form. Second day, there was a rumor. See? Or the second day, it was still dead. Luther Wesley. At the beginning of the third day, there was a rumor around. Nothing on the first day, Luther. Nothing on the second day. and in the third day, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And he writes, seventh dispensation, to the left. There was a rumor around that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But at the end of the third day, that's where he made himself known. Come right among them. Come among his people and said, look at me. I'm the same one. And there he writes, God in flesh. Now notice, there is a message that he preached, our brother Branham preached, titled Fellowship. And in this message he says, then people say, he's just a prophet. Oh my, the super sign. Jehovah as a boy playing. Jehovah a man toiling in the carpenter shop. Jehovah himself made flesh and dwelt among us. Stretched his tent down here. Made himself a body to live in it. To have blood cell. That blood cell could be broken. Hallelujah. That was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. That brings us eternal redemption. The Bible said so here. It brought us eternal redemption. We are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which has given us eternal life. How did he do it? I don't know. How did he do it? I don't know. That was in the first coming of the Lord. You know, the devil always looked in to find out what he was. One day they said, if he is the Messiah, he will certainly do some strange sign. He said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Messiah is a miracle worker. He is yet. He's always been, certainly. The Messiah was anointed one. The anointed one today is the Messianic church, this church. This church of the newborn. This church has come through the water. Faith comes by hearing. Through the blood, cleansed life, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the anointed one. Now notice, who is the anointed one? The Holy Spirit. That is why he said that this Holy Spirit that we have, when he is incarnate, we would crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is why we can say to him, he is the anointed one, because he has the Holy Spirit incarnate. Wasn't that what Peter said to Jesus? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those were the disciples in the first coming of the Lord, and the sons and daughters of God, the elect of the age of the cornerstone. At this end time, they can identify the Holy Spirit. And that is why they can call him, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God, the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord. Holy Ghost is the anointed one, the Messianic church. Glory, why? Messiah church will have signs of the Messiah in it. Which is the Messianic church? African brethren, you are part of that Messianic church, which would have the Messianic miracles and wonders in your midst. Remember, the greatest miracle is the revealing of the Word. That is the greatest miracle that a child of God can receive in this end time. With that miracle, obtaining the body, in the spirit and in the soul of each elect, you will have the total healing, the total healthy body, by obtaining the eternal and glorified body. See how that is the greatest miracle? Because what is worth for a person to be healed if he doesn't have that miracle in his life first. He may be healed, but he would not obtain that total healing. Hallelujah. Sure, because it's the Messianic church. It is the church of the Messiah. It is the church of the Messiah. It is the church of the Anointed One. Amen. That makes me feel as good as that fellow did a while ago. Yes, sir. A Messianic church with a Messianic power, with Messianic signs. Amen. There you are. There is where you have fellowship. Oh, there is nothing like it. It's perfect. Now, our brother Branham continues to say here in this other message, the dead forms went on till they got to Pentecost. Then begins the rumor around that he was. Now, here in the last day, here he is right with us, moving right among us. At the end of the third day, that he writes fourth day, he appeared and showed all of them his resurrection sign, that he was living, the same yesterday, today, and forever, living fruits of his presence. Living fruits of his presence. Are you getting it? Was manifested at the very end of the day, when he appeared to all of them, his church. Amen. Why? They all got together, oh, amen, at the end of the third day. Where have those who are in one accord gotten together? In the age of the cornerstone. And here in Africa, there is a group that is in one accord, gathered together in the upper chamber, in the age of the cornerstone. And there he writes, all those who were in one accord got together. Last day equals seventh millennium. And our brother William keeps on saying, in the message, the fourth generation, for this restoration of the church to how it was at the beginning, and to be restored to the physical eternal life, it requires those four stages, which are a Lutheran generation, which is already in the past. It is history already. A Wesleyan generation, which is also history, and a Pentecostal generation, which also is history already. And now the fourth generation, the generation of the Word, the generation of the Son of Man, the generation of the age of the cornerstone. In that generation, in that stage of the church, which represents eternity, all the sons and daughters of God, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, since before the foundation of the world, which would form the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will enter the promised land of the glorified and eternal body, and will enter the kingdom of Christ, which will be established on earth, and will be the glorious millennial kingdom of Christ. In this same message, the restoration of the bride tree, preached by the Reverend William Branham, on the page 28, he tells us there, listen real close now. Look, there was four death messengers killed that tree. That's right. What was it? Palmer worm, locust, cockerworm, caterpillar. Is that right? Four messengers of Roman devils, dogmas, killed that tree. One took its fruit. One took its leaves. One took its bark. One took its life. Is that right? Four messengers of dogmas killed the tree, all but the roots. And if four messengers of death killed the tree, four messengers of life restores the tree. There to the left, he draw a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them from 5 to 8. And on the side, he writes 1 to 4. He goes on to say, on paragraph 505, do you get it? Amen. For God said, I'll restore it. He's going to restore it. How? By four death messengers killed it. Then four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. What was the second? John Wesley by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost with the restoration of the gift, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. What? The Word. There he draws the cornerstone and the ages again, and he numbers the last three. And in the cornerstone he writes four. There were four great prophets. One of them, Martin Luther. He began to shine a light. There was a little light, just a very small strength of justification. Along come Wesley, stronger sanctification. After Wesley comes the strong than him, Pentecostal. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. In another great prophet. And there he writes, William Marion Branham. See? But in the last days of Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. In the evening light is to come forth to restore and bring back. What? Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of God. Fourth light. Four killers took it. Four messengers destroyed it. Four messengers of death took it away in dogmas. Four messengers of righteousness restore her back again. Prophesy, Son of Man, can these bones live? Wish we had time. I got it wrote down here, but I have to miss that. Prophesy, can these bones live? What's the four stages of that coming forth of that church? What's the four stages of Ezekiel dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when come back that fourth message of life. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, praise be to God. To the right he writes, Revelation 19:11-21. The fourth light is to come, that will bring forth the same signs. Watch, justification brought back the pulp. In the fourth light, he writes, Elijah and Moses. He wrote Elijah and Moses. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. What is it? Pentecostals, leaves, clap their hands, joy, rejoicing, Pentecostal. What? The fourth was the Word itself. The Word made flesh. And he writes Elijah and Moses. Now remember that Brother Branham, when he saw the tenth vision, he saw that everything was softly and quietly. And not the way in which they had activities that the Reverend William Branham had, and also different evangelists. The Pentecostal way was the hollering, and in the music, and leaves, and clapping, and many accompanied with clapping in the hymns. All of that, leaves, clapping their hands, which is clapping one's hand, that belonged to the seventh age. Now that is why he says, leaves equals to clap. He wrote that there. And notice on page 25, on paragraph 211, our brother Branham says, and it's been told me some time ago, by a vision that the Lord gave me some years ago, I suppose, or maybe a little more. I have it wrote out in a book at home of a changing of ministry. In other words, from the fourth Elijah to the fifth Elijah. And then some time ago, I was in a vision and I saw a large tent. Oh, it was a mammoth big affair. For those who perhaps didn't know, or perhaps the information hasn't reached them, That tent is already raised. That tent is in Calle, Puerto Rico. And that tent, and in that tent, God is carrying out the work pertaining to the third pool. And that third pool is the Word. He went there to one of the activities, to one in particular. When he arrived over there, that activity was already over. In other words, we are on the way to that activity that he saw. We are in the process. We are in that infancy of that ministry, which is already growing from faith to faith, from knowledge to knowledge, until it reaches the fullness. And this activity is part of that third pool. You are part of the third pool. You belong to the third pool. Because you are genes, attributes of the God creator of heavens and earth. Now, he says, and I had just been speaking. Remember that Brother Branham was being reflected there. And many souls were at the altar and were just kind of weeping with their hands up, quietly and softly. Now notice, he says, it was not in the denominational Pentecostal style. It was all quietly and softly, with much reverence, reverently. It was the atmosphere of that still small voice. Now notice how here he is describing to us those four stages where the, he says in the fourth one, but what? The fourth was the Word itself, the Word made flesh. And he writes Moses and Elijah. And there, he writes to the right, upward, Christ at the top of the mountain. It is the fourth light, Elijah and Moses. Fruit of the proof of the resurrection sign that Christ has finally, after justification being planted, sanctification being planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Organizations died out. And Christ has again centered himself, and there he writes Elijah and Moses, and Christ has again centered himself like the cap of the pyramid. And to the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages, uncentered and an arrow towards the cornerstone. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then coming of the cap. And he writes, fourth light. What is it? The Holy Ghost bunch being honed out so that he can fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away. That when he comes back, he'll catch the whole thing in the rapture, where the justified, sanctified, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. The house of God will live again. The tree of life is growing again. And there he writes, the tree of life. He wrote it to the right. Now, our brother William continues to say, Israel has also been going through different stages or generations. In the fourth generation, or fourth stage of the program of restoration, Israel will go into the kingdom of the Messiah, the kingdom of peace, love, happiness, prosperity, life, and joy with God. Israel will enter that fourth stage or fourth generation. and in a writing on a notebook, he places there, in the four stages of the restoration of Israel, there are men, a leader. We saw it in the first three stages, Luther, Wesley, and the Reverend William Branham. A man for every stage of this restoration. And he writes there, first stage equals an earthquake, each bone joining its bone. Some time ago, our brother Miguel mentioned to us something about those stages. And notice, I had not spoken to him about this. It has already happened several times where he touches a quote or something like that of which I was going to speak about. That is in 1 Kings chapter 19 from 8 and on, where he tells us that first it was a wind, but the Lord was not in the wind. Then an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then a still small voice. There he was. There was that voice. There was the YHWH. And he continues to say, second stage equals, third stage equals, fourth stage equals, the entrance of the Holy Spirit into the body. Nation of Israel comes in a man made flesh. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 10. How does the Spirit returns there to those dry bones of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 and on? Through a prophet, through a veil of flesh, where the Holy Spirit would come back into Israel. Now notice, in the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, tells us there, on page 37. The Reverend William Branham tells us, page 37, paragraph 282. Notice now in closing, the ministry like the seventh angel. These two witnesses under a seventh trumpet, just before, or the sixth trumpet, just before the seventh trumpet. Now, remember, I told you I'll bring back this great trumpet. And above he writes, the great trumpet. He said, what would he do over here in Isaiah? He said, at the great trumpet would sound, the great trumpet. Not trumpets now, feast of the trumpets. There is two of them. Moses and Elias, to call the trumpet, but under the great trumpet, the coming of the Lord, to announce Joseph returning, see, that all nations would assemble at Jerusalem. And above he writes, announces Jose in his coming, Christ, and on top he writes, Jesus. And he also writes, everybody will gather in Jerusalem. And on page 59, he tells us, paragraph 290. Notice, watch here, the ministry will be Moses and Elijah, changing and calling Israel from the Jewish tradition, listen, from the Jewish traditions that they had been mixed up in. Being prophets, they'll believe him, calling them to the Feast of the Atonement, Christ, letting them recognize Christ. That is, in the Book of Quotations on page 130, paragraph 1153. That excerpt is there. For those who want to have it, and also see there what he wrote to us, 1153. Of page 130, he tells us, It is the same one. They'll say, He's coming. He'll be there. The Jews will be gathering, things like that. And then, when He comes, say, Here I am. Now notice, he writes there, they call Israel, from the Jewish tradition, to the Feast of the Atonement, Moses and Elijah. There is another place where he says that the seventh seal will be before you, because the seventh seal, notice, in its fulfillment, is the coming of the Lord, as the seventh seal was in the first coming of the Lord. It was in the veil of flesh called Jesus, and the seventh seal in His second coming is in the veil of flesh also. Now notice, he goes on to say, on this other message, titled Knowing the Time by the Signs, preached on December 30th, 2007. He tells us, we await great blessings from God, and each year that begins, we await for the coming of the Lord, the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and the transformation of us who are alive, and the catching away or rapture to go with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now notice, there he tells us that we were waiting for the coming of the Lord. And in this message, the voice that will shake the heavens and the earth, he tells us on page 39, which was preached on May 4th, 2005, Christ is still in heaven on His throne of intercession. The second coming of Christ has not taken place yet. In other words, notice that the good tidings gave us the news, gave us the things that were being carried out, both in heaven as well as on earth. And it placed the elect in the position for them to see where we were. That mystery of that angel in the midst of the church opened more and more. Now notice that he told us there, the second coming of Christ has not yet taken place. The coming of the mighty angel has not yet taken place, because Christ is still on the throne of the Father making intercession with His blood. He spoke that in 2005. Now today, He is already outside of the throne of intercession. He already took the title deed. Revelation 10 has already been fulfilled. He has already come down with that book. He has already given it to a man, and that man has already eaten it. And the second coming of the Lord is already in the midst of the church, carrying out the works pertaining to the fulfillment of the seventh seal. Now he goes on to say, in the same message, knowing the time by the signs, and now, through the signs in heaven and on earth, we must be looking and waiting to see what is left to be fulfilled and be seen according to the divine program. The signs in heaven and on earth have been seen. The Jews are already in their land, at least the ones that belong to the southern kingdom or kingdom of Judah, although there are many from the other tribes there in the land of Israel. And now, we have the promise that 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 from each tribe, will be called and sealed with the seal of the living God, under the ministry of the two olive trees, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Something great is going to take place with the Hebrew people, for the Spirit of God to return to the Hebrew people, to return to the land of Israel as well. In a message he writes, or a little piece of paper, three stages have already been fulfilled, And the fourth stage is left, where the Holy Spirit returns to Israel as a people. And we saw how it returns by a prophet. Now he goes on to say, And thus, what the dry bones used to be will receive the Spirit of God, because they are already as a mighty army, but they still need the Spirit of God, which is the one that gives them life as a nation, that gives them life, and the one that will place them in His kingdom, the kingdom of David. And the only hope for Israel, for peace, and for all mankind, is in the kingdom of the Messiah being established in the land with Israel. And from there, peace will come for Israel and for all nations. Therefore, the only hope for permanent peace is in the coming of the Messiah and the establishment of His kingdom. The signs are already in heaven. They have been seen. And more signs are still appearing. And signs has always been seen on earth. And God still continues to give more signs. Now, do you know one thing? That the sign that the church would physically have would also be the Great Tent Cathedral. As a physical sign, that would be a touchable, tangible sign that we are at the time of the fulfillment of all those prophecies. The Jews are looking for the Messiah, and perhaps they are expecting Him sooner than Christianity. We need to be looking to Israel, because Israel is God's clock, and on God's clock is later than many people think. Now notice, in this message, faith with foundation tells us, preached on December 10, 2005, in Villahermosa, Mexico, it tells us, now, at this end time, just as Jacob was between two camps, the Messiah of the last day will be as well. The messenger of the last day, he would be between two camps. And therefore, all the sons and daughters of God will also be there, because we have the heavenly camp of the angels, and we have the earthly camp of the human beings, who are believers in Christ. And then, we will also have the camp of the Hebrews, who will be greatly blessed. And we will be together with them in the divine program, the Hebrews who will receive the word of the Lord. Now notice, in this writing, there our brother William puts both blind men that were given their sight. And he writes, Bartimaeus and another in Egypt. And he writes, the two blind men by the wayside crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. And he writes a scripture there, Matthew 9:27-31 and 20:29-30. And he writes, the blind man equals Israel, the Hebrews today, the 144,000 Hebrews who will recognize him as son of David, just as many has received him in his first coming as the Lamb of God. And now he continues with the second blind man, and he writes, the blind man equals the Gentiles today, Christianity, the elect who will recognize him and will receive him as the Son of David, Lion of Judah, and they will see his second coming. Just like he opened our eyes to see his first coming and receive him as our Savior. And he writes, Luke 14:13, call the poor, the lame, and the blind. And 2 Peter 1:9, he that lacks these things is blind. Now we have seen in these scriptures pastors working in harmony in both camps in favor of the restoration of the kingdom of David. We have seen who is the instrument. We have seen which are those camps. And we have seen how they are restored and how God, in the fourth stage, carries out the restoration for both the Gentiles as for the Hebrew people. Pastors working in harmony in both camps in favor of the restoration of the kingdom of David. It has truly been a great blessing and privilege to be here with the African people and to be able to have this fellowship around the Word in harmony with one another. And I can tell you that what you don't understand now, you will understand it later on. Pray to God. Ask God, and God will open your understanding and the scriptures to you. Because what is it worth it that if once I leave, you begin to talk, if you don't understand something, it's best to stay quiet and speak with God. Pray to God so that He will open your understanding and the scriptures to you. Because he said, the thing that you call fanatic or fanatism, that very thing would condemn you in the end. So, I long for the blessings, all the blessings for you. I desire that everything that is promised in the scripture to be fulfilled in you. All the promises to be materialized in you. That is what I long for. May God bless you. May God keep you. And let us stand so that we can stretch a little bit. And we can have a song on this occasion. It can be the pillar of fire. If you have it there, I heard somebody sung it in the devotional. We can sing that hymn. And in that way, we can thank God for everything He has given us on this occasion. And to thus, we can prepare ourselves to receive this subject that we already have prepared for this occasion. The pillar of fire who spoke to Moses from that bush. Who accompanied Israel through the wilderness. And parted Jordan for them towards freedom. The pillar of fire. Yes, Lord. Which was with Joshua before his people. The one who fought and overcame with his great strength and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire who was in the prophets and in Jesus. Who was in his archangel messenger, he's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire, yes, sir, is speaking to us today through his instrument. He's preparing us for our adoption. He's God Himself, the great I Am. Yes, Lord. Thy name be praised. May glory and honor be for you. Glorify yourself in the midst of your people. These people who love you, receive all praise. The pillar of fire he will fill this great temple with glory. The one that will perform miracles and wonders is becoming incarnate in our lives today. The pillar of fire who was with Joshua before his people. The one who fought and overcame with his great strength and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, he was in the prophets and in Jesus. He was in his archangel messenger. He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He's God Himself, the great I Am. The pillar of fire, he was in the prophets and in Jesus. He was in his archangel messenger. He's here today. He's still here today. the pillar of fire is speaking to us today through His instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He's got Himself, the great I Am. In this trip, I brought this book, which was a summary of our brother Branham's visit to South Africa. And there is a place where he tells us, after reading the scripture of Luke chapter 2, verse 25, where he speaks about Simeon, and he tells us that scripture, everything that happened there with the presentation of Jesus, and after Brother Branham read this scripture, he says, I want to speak just a few moments on expectation. Usually, you get what you expect. In other words, if you came here seeking blessing, that is the expectation, then you will take blessings with you. But notice, now, if you went to a meeting just to criticize, Satan will certainly show you something to criticize. If you come to get blessed, God will see that you get blessed. For whatever you are expecting, you will receive. Let me give you an example of what I mean. My mother once sent me to a party and told me that I would meet her sister. She described her to me, saying that she was small, rather sharp-featured, had a high forehead, and combed her hair back and twisted it in the back. I went to look for her and had some kind of a conception of what she would look like. Now, if you are coming for divine healing, you must have some conception as to what God is. Do you believe that? Now, God is a spirit, but you can watch the way He moves. Jesus said that He would send back the Holy Spirit, and He would testify of Christ, and bring these things to our remembrance which Jesus had said. He also would show us things to come. He said, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. He also said that he could do nothing until the Father showed him. And then when the Father showed him a vision, he did that. Now, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then we ought to have the same kind of manifestation in our meetings as Jesus had in his day. Many times, you have heard people say, seeing is believing. You've heard that expression. I will prove to you that that is only partially correct. Right here, I see a man standing by me with a dark suit on. He has a white tie with red dots on it. Let's say he was speaking with someone that was there, and he's describing him. How many believe that's true? Sure. You can see him. You know that he is here. Now I'll turn and look the other way. I don't see the man, but he is here anyhow. And how do I know? Because I have another sense. There are five senses in the human body. Taste, feel, smell, and hear. They are separate one from the other. First, I knew he was here by the sense of sight. Turning away, I cannot see him. But I also know he is here because I have my hand on him, and I can feel him. That is, he had him close. He turned, but he could still touch him. Now, my sense of sight is inactive, but my sense of feeling is active. Turning back to him again, I removing my hand from him, feeling would not declare him, but sight will. That is, he removed his hand, and he looks at him. Then the sense of sight is active, not the touch. You have another sense. Listen, I hear music. How many think I am right? Did you see it? Did you feel it? Did you smell it? Did you taste it? Listen. There is a sense of hearing. You can hear it, but you can't touch it. You can't see it. You cannot taste it. No, but you have the sense of hearing. Now, seeing is not believing. In that case, hearing is believing. Now, there are five senses. God made man in his own image, a spirit man. Then he put in him five senses in order for him to contact his earthly sphere. They have nothing to do with God. The five senses were given to contact the earthly sphere. But the soul of man, the spirit, has a sense too, which is faith. Through faith, man contacts his Maker. The five senses have nothing to do with it. They touch the earthly sphere, but your spirit touches the heavenly sphere. So, the senses of feeling, like my touching this man, is real to the body. Sight is real to the body. It is a reality. But faith is more of a reality to your soul. Now, listen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Yet, it is just as real, more real than any of the other five senses. What if nobody had ever seen in his life, and suddenly someone received eyes and could see? We would think that person was crazy when he said that he could see things and objects and bright sunshine, etc. If we only had four senses, we would think that person was mad. But to him, it is real. That is how it is when we are in the most holy place. For those who are there, what is happening is something real. It is something that our faith can see. Whoever is not there may think, those people are mad. Or he may think, no, that can't be. Now, with that sense, you can see, you can hear what God is carrying out at this time. So, it is with faith. Would you say that shirt is white? How many believe that shirt is white? That shows you can see. Now, if your faith says you are going to be healed, and it's just as real to you as your sight, which says that that shirt is white, you're healed. Faith declares it. It is perfect. If the faith you have tells you that you will be healed, physical healing or spiritual healing, it will be possible because faith said so, that you would be healed. Notice a case of a sister who was from here, from Africa. Because I was reading 3 pages further ahead of what I read to you. And a sister from Barranquilla, Colombia. Is it Barranquilla? From the place where Brother Emilio Arias departed a week ago. I did not remember the sister, her case. And she knew that I came to Africa. And she had this book. That was last night or yesterday. Yesterday or Friday night. Since the time of difference here, there is 6-hour difference. And she wrote to me that I knew you were here. And she had this book in her hands, and she saw the case of Sister Florence Nightingale. And she said to me, look, Brother Jose, do you remember when I asked you to pray for me because of an operation I was going to have? She was seriously ill. And she identified herself with this sister who noticed. He says, this brother is telling what happened. Daily there comes to the home of William Branham countless numbers of prayers requests. I have already received more than 10,000 prayers requests, not including those by text or by other means of communication. And I was at 8,886 last night from email alone. And I have answered all of them. And I try not to let them add up, and I try to make time to answer them. Perhaps in the time of Brother Branham, it was maybe a slower. They sent him letters, and at the time he wrote back. Now, thanks to God for technology. And we can answer the petitions more quickly. And this sister wrote to me, and they passed that petition to me. But it was through a sister in Puerto Rico. And my wife, Sarah, forwarded the petition to me. And I sent her an audio, seeing the critical condition that she was in. She was already, let us say, she was already sent home as a terminal patient. And I sent her an audio. They wrote the audio down, and she held on to that word. Now, I'm going to read here so that later I'm going to show you, if we have some time, we were going to have the subject, but he says, notice he says here, daily there come to the home of William Branham countless number of prayers requests. Many of them are accompanied by airplane tickets requesting him to come to pray for the sick. In other words, they will send him the letters and also the ticket. I'll pay you the ticket so you can come. It was one of these requests that caused Brother Branham to make it a definite matter of prayer pertaining to his trip to South Africa. He had considered South Africa before, but the Lord had always directed him to go elsewhere. This year, he had thought of Australia and Japan, but the Lord definitely led him to Africa. During the month of January 1950, Brother Branham and Brother F.F. Bosworth were conducting meetings in Houston, Texas. On the same evening that the photograph was taken of Brother Branham, which registered the halo above his head, Brother Bosworth showed Brother Branham's a lady's picture. It had accompanied a letter and airplane ticket from Florence Nightingale of Durban, South Africa, a distant relative of the Florence Nightingale who founded the Red Cross. They sent that picture to Brother Branham. I'm not sure if you have it there. I send it to you. That's the photo of when she was sick. And then she was healed. Now, that was the picture that he received, the picture on the left side. She was a mere skeleton and reminded them of Georgia Carter, a young lady from Milltown, Indiana, who was in a similar condition before she received her healing. For nearly 9 years, she had been on her back with tuberculosis and weighed hardly 40 pounds. At the time, Brother Branham prayed for her. That's one case that there was. This Florence Nightingale of Durban suffered from cancer at the entrance of the stomach, which causes one to die of starvation. And the cause of this, or the case that I'm going to mention to you, also has to do with the stomach. She weighed only about 50 pounds. She had been fed through the vein on glucose until that was no longer possible. This sister from Colombia was also being fed that way. Later on, it's good to prepare that documentary of that case. Hearing of Brother Branham, she cried for him to come and pray for her. Thus she wrote for him to come, sending along her picture and a plane ticket. That night in Houston, they prayed for Florence Nightingale. That is, when he received the letter, they prayed for her, promising God that if he would heal her and make her completely well, they would take it as an indication from God that they should go to South Africa. 8 weeks later, the Branham party landed in England. On the way to Finland. In other words, they already had that trip. They already had that itinerary. The King of England has sent a cable requesting Brother Branham to come and pray for him. When the Branham party stepped off the plane, William Branham's name was called over the loudspeaker. Florence Nightingale had arrived at the airport just 15 minutes before. That is, she flew from South Africa to that place there. So it was known that he was going to travel. Notice he paid the ticket for Brother Branham and sent it to him. Brother Branham did not go there. She paid for her ticket to go to England then. Well, he won't come to me, I'll go to him. Look at the faith that sister had. 15 minutes before, and those with her had put out this call for Brother Branham to come quickly because they thought he was dying. The place was so crowded that they were informed to get in touch with him at the Piccadilly Hotel. This was done and arrangements were made for him to come to her hotel. It was one of those foggy days in April when they motored to the hotel where she was staying. No one in the party had ever seen a human being in such a pitiful condition as the woman in that room. She was so thin that the skin stuck to her bones. Their hearts were moved with compassion. Florence Nightingale could hardly speak as tears ran down her cheeks, for she was suffering with such pain. They all, including a minister of the Church of England, as well as her nurses, knelt and began to pray for her. As they started to pray, a dove came and sat on the windowsill. Looking inside as it started to coo. After prayer, when Brother Branham said, Amen, the dove flew away. The minister started to speak, saying, Did you see that dove? Before he finished the question, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Brother Branham to speak these words. Thus saith the Lord, You will live, sister. 8 months after Brother Branham had prayed for Florence Nightingale in England, he received another picture from her. which is the picture on the side. At this time, she was a perfect picture of health and weighed 155 pounds. He had made his vow to God and was now convinced that he had to go to South Africa. God had called him to South Africa. And now his desire was that he might be a blessing to the people he had been called to minister unto. Now notice, this sister from Colombia asked for a prayer in June 2023. But there, there was something very peculiar about that petition. And you will then read those words that I sent to her. She held on to that word to the extent that she made him part of her. She went into the operation room because she was going to be operated in those days. And I don't know if you have the picture there. This is how she was. She gave me permission to display the picture in June 2023. And that picture now, the one to the right, is how she is today. She believed the word of healing, and she had a stomach problem. Now, 11 months later, notice the number 11 there. Remember the 11th hour. And he showed me that she was going to be healed. This is why yesterday, when she wrote to me that she was here in Africa, she told me, "Brother Jose, this is like what happened to that sister. I have been healed. I want my testimony to be heard." Like the case, was heard and read of this sister who was healed also by the spoken word of a prophet. And a prophet spoke and she was healed. Now, you have that power. There's a place in the Book of Quotations that speaks about that faith can create worlds. Now, do you know why many times one is moved when one sees and hears testimonies like this? Because when the person is in that moment where they just want to live and they have the possibility to hold on to something. Notice, she sent him a ticket. Brother Abraham did not come. She bought her ticket. "I'm going to where he is." There was something inside of her that made her move anywhere. That desire to live. And I told her in the prayer, "You're going to live. And you're going to continue to be of a great blessing for the work." And God heard me. And that sister is there on her feet, working in the work of the Lord. Many times He takes us to the limit so that we may see the glory of God and to see if you truly love God both in good times and in bad times. Now, don't you wait to get to that moment. Remember that woman who passed by the door of Branham's tabernacle, and she said, "If my cow received or went in there," or she said, "I wouldn't let my cow get into that kind of religion like that." Not long ago, after that, she was crying out for the prophet. And it says that the cries out of that woman could be heard from far away, crying for Brother Branham. When they brought Brother Branham outside, because he was told that there was a person who was there in the last moments to die. And when he went, she had already died. She had already departed. We have told that story several times. Therefore, in this end time, it is the time where the Holy Spirit is in the midst of the people. And as it was in the first coming of the Lord, when He said, "Blasphemy against the Son of Man is forgiven." But when the Holy Spirit comes and is incarnate in the midst of the people, it will not be forgiven unto him, neither in this world or in the age to come. It is a very delicate time. God is not playing. But for the elect, we have the promise that He will be touched by our faith and with our faith. She said, "The one who touched the hem of His garment, if I could just touch the hem, I would be healed." She touched the hem and she was healed. Notice the faith of that woman with the blood issue. Therefore, you already saw how to touch the Lord with that something that He gave, faith. Back then, she touched the hem. She used her touch. Today you have all the senses combined in faith. So, ask God, whether for yourself or for a family member, you intercede for him. Join your faith together with his. Increase. The Lord will increase your faith and his, and you will see the glory of God manifested there. In this place, may whoever desires spiritual healing and physical healing, may he receive it. Keep believing with all your heart, and you will obtain what you are asking for. God is about to fulfill what He promised in its due time, and it's not far off. And there, the mouth of the critics will be shut. Our brother Branham said so, and they will realize that what we were saying was, "Thus saith the Lord." Don't wait until the last moment. May God bless you all. My brethren and brethren ministers of the group of Brother Branham, take these good tidings to your congregations as well. and we will see each other soon, where I wish to have more activities with you here in Africa. May God bless you and all the brethren, fellow ministers and brothers and sisters from different places who have moved many, spending 8 days or 5 days on the road. And they have been here to share these moments of fellowship. And a sister who came, who wrote a song. Is it her? She came with a baby. It's someone else? Someone who came from far off. From Burundi. She came from where? From Uganda. How long did she take to come? 5 hours? Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful song. Did she compose it? Notice how the love, as Miguel says, if you want to sing it, you can sing it. I don't know if he can sing it in her language, because perhaps many don't understand it. Can she sing it in her language? You can sing it in your language. Mm-hmm. Now it's in Spanish. Oh, she has it in Spanish. Later you can... She composed it in Spanish, Later you can translate it to your language here. The Bible speaks of the promise of the second coming of Christ. The whole world has been waiting for Him, and so have we in Africa. We received the forerunner, William Branham, and the Archangel Gabriel with new tidings. And we have received Moses and Elijah, which is the second coming of Christ. Today, we the Africans are in the program of the seventh seal. God never forgot Africa. That is why we have His presence today. The pillar of fire is in our land. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We love your coming wholeheartedly. And we proclaim that you are our King, our Claimer, Jose, our Messiah, our Jose. We feel you in our heart. Your eternal name is in our heart. We see your glory in our lives. It is the eternal revival. And no one will take it away from our lives, because our King has claimed us. Our Jose has already said so, that there is a people in Africa with prophetic insight whom will make the rapture, what great love for Africa. We bless you, our King. Today, we, the Africans, are in the program of the seventh seal. God never forgot Africa. That's why we have His presence today. The pillar of fire in our land. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We love your coming wholeheartedly. And we proclaim that you are our King, our Claimer, Jose, our Messiah, our Jose. We see your glory in Africa. God never forgot Africa. That there is a people in Africa with prophetic insight who will make the rapture. Where are those Africans who will make the rapture? Here is a group of people who will make the rapture. And in every place they are tuned in on this occasion, in different parts or countries of Africa. And in each place where this activity is being broadcast. May God bless you and keep you. And let us leave right away with us, with this subject, pastors working in harmony, in both camps, in favor of the restoration of the kingdom of David, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.